look at the stadium. It's just crying out for the fans to be back in Villa Park.
Oh, what a goal! Get it in! What about this for a turner? It's Grealish for Villa, and it's a magnificent seven. And this is really quite unbelievable. There will be Villa fans leaping up and down all across the land and around the world. Their team have scored seven against Liverpool.
Never dreamed of getting a result like this today.
Hello and welcome to Up the Villa podcast. If you're new, please subscribe. It'll help us grow massively. A little bit about the channel. We're a fan-based channel looking to have anyone on board to come and have their say post-match or come on these previews. But if you don't know, we've got a website as well where we do written work so you can have your work published. And we do something really cool as well. We do player ratings. So if you want to come on board, have a bit of fun, rate a few of the players each game, you can do that. So the website is www.utvpodcast.co.uk. Some massive news for the podcast as well this week is that we landed number one in the Mongolian football podcast charts. So I don't know whether some of you have got some dodgy VPNs or what, but, you know, we smashed it in that part of the world this week. So we're buzzing. And then, yeah, this week we've got Liverpool, so we can do the double over Liverpool. As you saw in the intro, the last time we played them, it was just a blitz at Villa Park. So hopefully we can do that again. So before the game on Sunday, Conte signed a 5-year deal, which was just massive. You know, he extended his contract and it's just huge for us, really. And I think a statement of intent from the owners, which is massive, because, you know, there were a few rumours that Conte, teams like Liverpool were looking at him. So it's just huge that we've tied him down as well. So Captain K is back on. What do you make of that?
That's fabulous, isn't it? I mean, he's got the attributes of a young Rio Ferdinand. I know that's a big statement, but he's definitely in the making for being really, really top class centre half. I mean, the dynamic between him and Mings is really good. I think Mings brings out the best in Conte as well. Whilst Conte is just going from strength to strength, isn't he? And the fact that he's got this new deal penned in shows his commitment to Villa. And yeah, it's only a matter of time before he gets into the England team.
It's absolutely massive for us. And let's not forget that when we first got promoted to the Premier League, he wasn't our first choice centre-back either. He was Mings and Engels. So yeah, he's been on a massive journey with us. And a little bit like Matt Target, who's been coached and has come on leaps and bounds. You've got Mings has got better as well. And the whole back four looks incredible in front of Martinez, and it's definitely something to build on. And it's like Ryan always say, it's a massive foundation. So just quickly looking at kit watch, we got me and Ryan who are full on brand tonight, which is huge. What do you make of the Conte new deal?
I think we've got ourselves a right little gem, haven't we? £12 million we paid for him. You know, what a signing. He was patient when he arrived, wasn't he? He weren't straight in there. And he only really played when he was in a back three, really, wasn't it? With Mings and House or Engels. So he bided his time. When he come out of Project Restart, he was playing right back, wasn't he? And it weren't until that Crystal Palace game where House got injured in the warm-up that he come in at centre-half alongside Mings, and we have not looked back since, have we? We just got that balance perfect. He scored an important goal against Everton in them final four games. And then he got our season up and running against Sheffield United as well, didn't he, with the opener? So I just think he's been terrific. You know, he's just immense. He's so composed. You know, he's reading of the game. He's probably second to only Paul McGrath and JT in a Villa shirt. And, you know, we can put him up there with that company because he's just brilliant. And the blocks that he puts in, the ball just magnetises to his legs, doesn't he? He's like, he's everywhere. He's just in the right place at the right time always. And if I put Jack to one side, I'd probably say at the moment he's my favourite player.
He's been huge. And something I think, it's probably a little bit weird, like looking at it in this way, but when you watch like a flair player like Grealish, or say like a Phil Foden from Man City, who are like really easy on the eye, for a centre-back, he's really good to watch. Like just his movement and his technique, the way he hits the ball, you know, it's just, I just feel like he's a real good centre-back to watch. Sometimes when you're watching defenders, it can become quite erratic at times. But with him, I just really enjoy watching him play football as well. Justin, do you want to add anything on Konsa?
Yeah, I think you've all summed it up very well. I think he was signed by Smith as one down the line, wasn't he? He was a young kid, did really well in the Championship. So he brought him in with a view really to sort of bedding him in over maybe one or two or three seasons. But his development's been that good. Like Ryan says, when he got his chance, he just hasn't looked back, has he? I mean, he's phenomenal. I mean, I've just done my latest iconic numbers, which was number 4. So he comes into that. And, you know, he's only played, 50-odd games for us. And already he's probably one of the most important players in the team now, isn't he? You know, if Paul McGrath was God, then maybe Constance Jesus, isn't he? Because he's, you know, going forward, he's, you know, if you look at just the love that's shown for him on Twitter and within the fan base, we all know what we've got with Konsa, and we have got a very, very special player. Jack is obviously the gem in the bunch, but like Ryan says, Konsa ain't that far behind. He's an absolute world, potentially world-class centre-half. So to have him at our club in his early 20s, doing what he's doing, can only bode well for the future.
It's absolutely massive. So before we get into the Liverpool game, we'll go to what some of the listeners and viewers have been sending in, some of their questions and thoughts. So Paul Linton sent us in, if the owners invest, say, another 100 million in the summer, is there anything but top six classed as failure? For me, it is. Kay, do you want to answer that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should be finishing eighth this season without that additional £100 million investment. I've always said it. I said eighth should be a good ambition for us. So absolutely, top six. If we invest another 100 mil and we retain Jack and we retain, you know, our best players, then absolutely, absolutely, top six should definitely be the aspirations. There's no reason why we can't compete with the likes of Everton and even the likes of Leicester, potentially, and Spurs and all these teams that are above us. And, you know, Liverpool aren't having the best season right now either. So it's all to play for, especially if you invest that additional 100 mil, because I don't see the likes of Arsenal putting that much cash in. I don't think Everton are going to put in a lot more cash next season. You know, they invested heavily in the last two seasons. So why not? Absolutely. I definitely agree with that sentiment.
I think, obviously, the longer we're in the Premier League as a fan base, our ambition as a fan base gets more and more, doesn't it? You know, we as fans, we're going to be wanting progress every single season. We're going to be wanting to climb that table. And like I've said on a few podcasts ago, I think it's a big window for us, basically, because we get rid of some of the squad that we don't really utilize anymore. We go again and we improve the squad massively to reach our ambitions. And it's a big one for Smith next year as well, because our ambitions higher, the club's ambitions higher. We've got to deliver, we've got to get better and better. So I'm with you. I think that 100 million, you know, we have got to be aiming for where higher than where we finished this season. So another one along those sort of lines is from Double H. Now we're about halfway through the NSWE 5-year plan. Are we ahead, behind, or where we expected to be at this point? And how long before we reach the ultimate aim of European domination? Give that one. That's a Justin question, that is.
That Double H, I know, then that's a good question, that is. I think we're ahead of where we wanted to be. You know, I think they said, when they came in, to get promoted in the first season was more than they could have hoped for, really. So I think when they sat down to do that plan, they would have probably earmarked this season for the promotion. Last season for the promotion, and this season for the first, you know, to settle in the Premier League. So if you go on that, this is third season in. We are ahead, aren't we? Because we're now pushing top eight of the Premier League. So, yeah, the natural progression is then to push on top six in Europe, but we are now entering the most difficult phase. for any club aspiring to get to the top four and win things in the Premier League is that last push. You know, Wolves have found it very, very difficult. Two seventh place finishes and look where they are at the moment. It is the hardest bit to sort of push on to now, isn't it? So, yeah, eighth, ninth this season is unbelievable. But to get from eighth and ninth, even with £100 million spend, you've got to catch the likes of Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United. You know, they're the established few clubs up there. And then you've also got the likes of, like Captain Kay said, Everton are going to probably spend a bit, although they have got the new stadium to pay for now. West Ham are doing fantastic. There's always one or two teams that come out of nowhere and have good seasons, like West Ham are doing this season. So while it's great to aspire to that, to what we've got to do, and we all want to aspire to that, it's we've got to realise that this next step is probably the hardest step we're going to take, even harder than promotion from the Championship, even harder than probably staying up in the first season. You know, we are entering the pinnacle now of English football, and it's we've got to be very, very good now to take that next step and patient.
And I think this is probably one of the most expensive parts of the plan,
yeah.
Because what we've seen is when we got promoted, we spent a lot of money on a lot of players. We had so many players coming through. Last transfer window, a little bit different. We spent it on a little bit more added quality, which we got, you know, Cash, Martinez, Watkins, Traore. That it's a better quality than what we had. We didn't sign as many players. But for me, this next window, you're looking at three or four maximum big, big money players that are going to take us to that level where we want to get to, really. So
just quickly, I've just read today, and it's very interesting that the Man City financials have come out, and Guardiola's come out and said that it's not that far away now that at some point they will be spending £100 million on one player. Now, that's where we're going to try and get to go. So this £100 million to spend on improving our squad, when you get into that level, it quickly becomes one or two players.
Mm.
That's how difficult it is.
And I think we need to be spending like £30 million on a central midfielder. Do you know that calibre of player? I'm not going to say names, but that level of player, really. So, Ryan, you can have this one. Frank Costa, will we, should we go for a marquee signing in the summer, thinking Robinho type of signing for City when they broke into the super club status up the Villa?
I don't think we need a Robinho type of player because we've already got one in Super Jack. That's our star quality man. And for every Robinho Man City brought, they brought 10 Benjanis. You know, we are a bit more pragmatic. We're a bit more methodic with our spending. We're a bit more savvy. So I think, you know, we're not just going to go and splash the cash on anybody. It's, you know, trusting Lang, trusting Smith. But we are going to go for that next calibre of player. And we've built from the goalkeeper to the defence. We've brought a striker, but this midfield section now, like you say, it's going to be expensive. And £100 million, if we want three good attacking midfielders, wingers, it's gone. The money's gone, let alone strengthening the back five, you know, the backup, with a young backup for that. So, yeah, like you say, checkbook out. Come on, big summer.
Checkbook and passport out. So we'll give this one to Kay. It's from Chairman Markey. Quite simple, really. Can we pull off another shock result and do the double over them? Does it depend on Jack being fit? So do you think we'll do the double over Liverpool?
Yeah, why not?
Come on, Captain.
Come on. I mean, you know, the way we dismantled them the first time round was obviously sensational, unexpected, surprising for both Liverpool fans and Villa fans, right? We didn't expect it, but there's no reason why we can't, right? It's all to play for. I mean, no fans in the stadium. I think Liverpool really suffered. Out of every team in the Premier League this season, Liverpool have suffered the most, I think. You can just see, right? They're the current champions and you know, they're rocking in Europa League places right now. So why not? I know Jack, there's a big question mark. We don't really know if he's going to be available. I'm sure we'll get onto that later. We'll talk about lineups and things like that. But absolutely, why not? If we can really stay disciplined, focused, and really think about our approach to the game, then there's no reason why we can't win that game and get do the double over them. We've done the double over Arsenal, which is, you know, the first time in a long time that I can remember. So why not Liverpool?
I think it's an exciting game for us to be looking ahead of. You know, I mean, we're 5 points behind Liverpool with a game in hand. Now, if you'd have listened to me saying that at the start of the season, you'd have all been like, "What is this guy on about?" You know, with 5 points
behind. What's this guy on?
Yeah, with 5 points behind the champions of England, like that, look at it like that. It's mad. So we'll sort of get on to Liverpool a little bit now then. So Gary Plaza's asked, selection versus Liverpool, do we go with a similar team that started the game or play 4-4-2, how we finish the game and give Davis a start? I think 4-4-3 only works with Grealish playing, with his ability to draw two or three players out of position and allowing more space for others. Justin?
I don't see Smith throwing the 4-3-3 away. I know that the changes worked on Saturday, Sunday. And it worked very well. The only thing I can see him doing really is just changing the personnel around a bit, I think. I would like now, I've said this three or four times, and I would like now to see Keenan Davis given a chance to play up front, which would mean Watkins moving out to the left. And then you've got a choice to make on the right. I'd probably just marginally stick with Traore because he's got that bit of magic in him. Which would be hard on Trez after coming on and scoring twice. So, you know, it's a difficult one for Smith again. The midfield three again after, I don't know how many times have we spoke about this in the last 10 games, it's a big call for him. I think McGinn worked in the 10, so I think you stick with that. The only call then really is Sanson or Ramsey, I think. Ramsey did well when he come on. Is it time to give him another chance? Or do we stick with Sanson? It's difficult, isn't it? That's probably what I would do now if I was Smith. I don't think he'll make wholesale changes. It's a tough game. It's away at Liverpool, regardless of the form they're in. They are still the champions. They are still a very good side. So I think he might tweak it a little bit. That's all I can see, really. I don't see him going 4-4-2 from the start.
One thing as well, I did make a mistake in the fan reaction one, because I did say Salah would be the second best Egyptian on the pitch. He won't. He'll be the third, because don't forget we've got King Elmo as well. So we've got Elmo, Trez, and then you got Salah. They're losing 2-0 away at Madrid. So that's they're 2-0 down away, coming back. It's an earlier sort of kickoff form at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. It's normally sort of Sunday afternoons, isn't it, for them? So got to get at them. Just got to make that game as difficult as possible from the very, very beginning. What are your thoughts on it, Ryan?
Yeah, I think we seriously got to have a go for it. Well, we've got nothing to lose, have we? Their home record has been awful. They've lost to Fulham, Chelsea, City, Everton, Brighton and Burnley. You know, but what better team would you like coming to town than Aston Villa? But now, in all seriousness, you know, we're under zero pressure, so why not go up there and have a good go off them, take the shackles off and just go for them. Look, I know they got a good result at Arsenal, but, you know, it's easy to win 3-0 there, isn't it, at Arsenal? Easily done.
Tell me about
But I just hope we can take the confidence of that last 20 minutes against Fulham and take it in from the off. As for the 4-4-2, I think it could work, you know, them two up front together, because they can both work the channels well. You know, I'd even be inclined with my Football Manager head on to maybe even ditch the wingers and have a bit of a diamond in the middle. So you've got a holding midfielder, a couple of central midfielders and a number 10, and then let Ollie and Davis work the wings with backup from the fullback. So, you know, it's a tough game to experiment, really, Liverpool away, but nearer the end of the season he might start experimenting a bit more. But it's certainly brought out the best in Ollie as well, because he could get back to being a poacher as well. And he got his goal, because he's not running left to right, left to right, left to right, is he? He's becoming that striker again that when he's fed, he can score.
For me, I think I'd start Trez. I think it's difficult to drop a player that's come on and just completely changed that game for us. And, you know, without sounding like I feel a bit sorry for him, I quite like Trez. You know, he works hard and, you know, he does show that bit of quality from time to time. So I think I'd go with Trez. What would your formation and lineup look like then, Kay?
I mean, I was thinking about this earlier and I was having a chat with my old man as well on the phone. I was telling him I was coming on doing the preview and we was having a little chat. And I think because of their attacking threat, you know, the likes of Jota's comeback is on fire. You know, Mane is always a threat. Salah, you know, they got Thiago now. He's starting to get into the rhythm of things. And Fabinho is now back in the central midfield position where he belongs, right? So I would play Marvellous Nakamba as a holding midfielder just to provide that extra protection. But I also agree with you guys, definitely having Keenan Davis up top, Ollie on the left, Trez on the right, and having McGinn and Sanson in the middle as well. This is all assuming there's no Jack, right? So we're all working the team around no Jack.
Yeah.
You never know. Jack could turn up. You don't know.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so. But if there's no Jack, then I'd definitely go with the 4-3-3, but with a holding midfielder with Marvellous, because he can play that holding midfielder role on his own, right? You know, he's not obviously as good as Kante or Makélélé, but he's our version, right? Yeah. And he's got legs for days. I mean, he can he covers that pitch. He goes from left to right constantly, and he's always the outlet there when we're trying to play out. So I'd have Marvellous there for that extra bit of protection, and I'd have Trez purely because he's more pacey than Traore. And with their fullbacks always playing a high line, he can get in behind, especially with Ollie on the other side as well. And we've really got to take advantage of how inexperienced their centre-back pairing is. So if you've got someone like Keenan Davis up there just bullying them, I mean, Quebec, while he's not bad, he's prone to a mistake and he can be a bit rash. And then was it Nat Phillips? Yeah, he's young as well. So we really need to exploit that inexperience that they've got with that centre-back two there. So I think having Trez coming in on the right with the pace there, he can also track back and help out Matty Cash as well, because they're going to have Mane or Salah or Jota running at us. And then if you've got Keenan Davis there, then that gives Fabinho something to think about as well. He doesn't necessarily have to roam forward as much because he's more conscious about, you know, Keenan bullying the centre-half. So that's what I'll go with.
Brilliant. To be fair, like, I know we're playing Liverpool. I am actually quite excited about this game for some reason. I just, you know, Stoke don't look like they're going to have faced and get battered. But to be fair, I've got a bit of a good feeling about it. So we'll go around and we'll do our little score predictions now. So yours won't look that bad, will they, Justin? Because last time we battered them 7-2. So if you go for something similar, who can laugh at you?
I know. I should have said 7-2 last time. Wouldn't I imagine the reaction if I'd have said that?
Well,
still be spending the winnings.
God, yeah. I've been living in Barbados now. It's a tough one, isn't it? Everybody's made some fantastic points. I love that team selection from captain. Oh, God. Anything could happen realistically, can't it? You know, we're all praying Jack will be back. If he is, great. If he's not, like Ryan said, let's hope we continue the last 20 minutes. We're more than capable of winning the game. I'm going to go. We're going to go nick it 2-1.
I'm going to go 2-1. And don't forget, I was bang on with my last one. 3-1. Yeah. So I'm going to go 2-1, Villa. Kay?
I was going to say 2-1 as well, but I don't want to say it now.
No, say it.
2-1. 2-1. I mean, Ryan?
2-1, yeah.
Come on, Ryan. Clean sweep.
No, I'm going to go 1-0. I think we'll get a goal and you ain't breaking that back five of us. No chance.
Buzzing. So, you know, if you enjoyed it, subscribe. Drop your thoughts below. Who you think we should sign in the summer. What you think the score prediction's going to be. And just get involved. Get involved with the player ratings. Get on board with the website. If the podcast's not for you to appear on, then, you know, you can do some writing for us as well. And it all gets published as well. So thanks for watching. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.